Hey guys, welcome back to the Street Cop Training Podcast. My name is Frankie Rodriguez. I am the podcast producer for Street Cop Training. Today, I compiled another mashup of some of the top podcast moments of the week. So if you like what you hear, you can go down in the show notes, find the link to the full episode, and go back and listen to those there. If you like what you're hearing, please give us a like and subscribe on Apple Podcasts. If you or someone you know would like to be a guest on the podcast, please email me at frankie@streetcop.com. Without further ado, here are some of the top podcast moments of the week. Enjoy.
111. Be a street cop.
I've gotten several questions over the last couple of weeks that deal in one way or another with the plain view doctrine. There's definitely some misunderstanding of what it is. It's, you know, to be, I guess, accurate in using the terminology, would be the plain view doctrine of warrantless seizure. The plain view doctrine is an exception to the warrant requirement when it comes to seizing items, not conducting searches. Like the automobile exception is an exception for searches. So the plain view doctrine, there are four things that have to be true in order to seize an item without a warrant. And of course, the first thing is you have to be in a lawful vantage point to be able to see the item. So the first prerequisite is the officer has to have a right to be where he is to see the item.
What's an example of a lawful vantage point versus an non-lawful vantage point?
So the easiest example would be executing a search warrant. If I'm inside of a house pursuant to a search warrant, and let's say I'm searching for stolen electronics, that's what my warrant is for, and I happen to see drugs in plain view, as long as the warrant gives me the authority to be in the house, and as long as I'm looking in a place in the house where the warrant authorizes me to look for those electronics, then that's an example of me being lawfully present to view the item. An example where you would be unlawfully present is if, and I'm thinking about the Collins versus Virginia case, the motorcycle case, where the officers entered Mr. Collins's driveway for the sole purpose of searching his motorcycle without a warrant, without an exigency, and without consent. They were unlawfully on the driveway. So they had no lawful right to be on the driveway in the first place, even though the motorcycle itself was in plain view. It was just parked in the driveway. Anyone can see it. But since they didn't have a lawful right to be on the curtilage in the first place, the plain view doctrine would not allow them to search that motorcycle. So those are two just off the top of my head examples.
But have a mindset going into it. And that's why, Dennis, that's why I say when you leave your house, just understand where you're going. Like literally open up your mind for a few seconds. Don't get so complacent that it's going to happen to the next person or it's going to happen in the next town or the next state. God damn it, it could happen right here, right fucking now. But yet you're so busy, and we all have issues. You know, we talked earlier about family life and about, you know, bills and things like that. You know, sure, we all have that. Maybe take a few minutes on your ride to work and clear your head and say, I'm going to live today for whatever reason. You pick the reason, you know, and that's what Tony's death taught me. Mm. You know, 6 years, I'm a young kid. At that point, I was like 23 years old, 24 years old, and Tony's dead, and I was lost. And Tony's death said to me, if Tony could die, that means I could die. I don't want to fucking die. Mm-hmm. I don't want to die. I don't think anybody's room wants to die.
No.
You want to do your thing. You want to literally leap into this job because that's what our passion is. That's what we want. I was 6 years old. I knew I wanted to be a cop at six.
Yeah.
You know? And the bottom line boiled down to was the guy that got me there, my superhero, is fucking dead. He's fucking dead. He's a new husband. He's got a brand new baby, Nicole. And, you know, baby Nicole's 2 years old. And if somebody like him can die, had everything in the world to live for, you know, had everything, had the ability to pat me on the back and say, I could be somebody, you know, and the next thing you know, I am somebody. I'm a fucking cop. Mm-hmm. And he made me that cop.
Yeah.
You know, and now he's dead. And I still, even today, it just sickens me to even say it.
Yeah.
You know, and now.
He got cheated.
Yeah. It's, listen. Not only did I forget about me. So
he got cheated.
He got cheated. His wife got cheated. Nicole got cheated. Every citizen in this state got cheated. You know what I mean? Because he was a loving, beautiful, kind, awesome, sweetheart of a human being that didn't look at race or color or religion. He wanted everyone to have police protection. He wanted everyone to be safe. He wanted everyone to know that he was there, you know? And now he's fucking dead.
Yeah.
Now he's dead. And I'm telling you, his death taught me how to live. His death taught me how to be tactically sound, somewhat physically fit, and understand that everybody needs the police. Everybody.
So I was about 5 miles into my run and hadn't planned to run in the area that I was in. I just needed to find some more distance in my route. And I was just running down the road, and all of a sudden I look off to my left and I see two guys with two pickup trucks in a parking lot of a business and wrapping straps around the door and onto the bumper of the car. And I was like, it's going down. So what I did is, the good off-duty police officer, I tried to find a place I thought was good to hide at. I mean, it wasn't a really great area, but started calling 911 because I wanted the local PD to start heading that way. So I started making the call, and for some reason, all of a sudden, they both just looked right at my direction, pulled the straps off the door, hopped in the truck, and they peeled out of the parking lot. And at that point, when they left the lot, that's where I have really lost that portion of my memory. I'm told one of them pulled out of the lot, drove right by me and shot me.
Wow.
I just remember hearing two gunshots and thinking, did they just shoot me with a paintball gun? Because my stomach hurt and I felt my stomach. I didn't see anything in my hand. And I just said to myself, I think I was shot. It was crazy. And I looked across the street and I see a guy standing over there who I think to this day, and I haven't been able to get the investigators to figure it out or not, I think he was the lookout. And he just started walking. Yeah. He started walking towards me, and I knew I needed to get out in the traffic. It was 7 o'clock on a Sunday morning, so there wasn't a lot of people out there. So I just turned, and the funny thing is, when I tell the story, I just turned and I started running towards the lights. And I know you're not supposed to do that after you've been shot, but but I kept running down the road. I clocked it after, and it was about 150 yards I ran before someone actually stopped. And I just kind of, that was it for me. I collapsed on the side of the road, and thankfully the local police department and the fire department were pulling up right then.
If you don't understand the mental state of going through some shit like this,
it's an everyday grind, man. It's an everyday grind. The morning you wake up to the night you go to bed, it's everyday grind.
Tell me about some of that, if you don't mind.
Yeah. I feel pretty fortunate. I think it's because from the moment I was laying in that parking lot, I was already thinking, you know, how are things going to be going forward? But I was also thinking, and I still think it to this day, I was determined that I wasn't going to lose in that parking lot. He was not going to beat me in that parking lot, and he didn't. And I kept that mindset going forward from the moment I woke up in the hospital, and I told myself, he didn't beat me in that fucking parking lot. He's sure as hell not going to beat me in my own fucking house. Mm. And that's the mindset that I keep going forward every day. I got through it. I fucking won, and I'm still fucking winning. He ain't going to beat me, you know? And that's just the mindset you got to have every day. And sometimes it's hard to muster that up because we're human and we all have bad days. We all have bad moments. And I do too. But it's just working your way through it. It's just keep working through it. You know, look at the big picture of things. You're still here. You know,
what lessons have you learned or did you learn that you want to pass on to other cops about this incident?
Time. You know, family, time with your family is precious. And leading up to this incident with the task force I was on, we were all brothers. We all loved one another. And we were determined to do the job, regardless of anything else. That was first and foremost. If one of us had a case come up and, hey, I need help doing this at 8 o'clock at night or midnight or 3 a.m, it wasn't any question. We were going to go do it. It didn't matter what was planned, what was going on. It was work. And we're going to go do it. And that's one thing looking back, if I were to go back, I would change. I wouldn't be so ate up with it. Cause I know a lot, like we're cops, man. We all get ate up with it. We all want that awesome traffic stop. We all want that big bus. We all want to catch that fugitive. We all want to be there for our brothers and sisters. You don't want to miss anything, but at some point you got to reel it in and you got to give enough time to the family, because that's the most important thing. Work is always going to be there, but those precious moments with your family are not always going to be there.
Hey guys, don't forget, April 23rd through the 28th, 2023, we'll be in Nashville, Tennessee for the second Street Cop Training Conference. You do not want to miss out on that. So far, we have some real big headliners on there. It'll be 5 days of transforming training in Nashville, Tennessee.